worship you for who you are. Who is he? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Hosts. He's everything you need him to be. He's our healer. He's our Savior. He's our constant help in times of trouble. Those never seem to leave us. You ever figure that out? So he's always there. He's your constant companion. No matter what it is you need, he is it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Got a couple real quick announcements here. First off, I'm sure most of you are fully aware that there's food next door. So we have a fellowship meal afterwards here today. Looks like there's plenty of food. Also, today is War on the Floor. We're going to kick the devil in the throat. Forget the knees. Forget the legs. Just go for the throat. And also is ladies' Christmas party and secret sister reveal after 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. So guys, you don't want to be hanging around here. If you got to wait for your wife, you can come over here and sit. But otherwise, you might feel a little out of place next door. And next Sunday is Compassion Cafe. It'll be open from 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. at the conference center. A little breakfast deal going on. You can come over and check it out. Good time for fellowship as well. And next Sunday is also our wild, wonderful Christmas wear Sunday. So if you got an ugly Christmas sweater, again, just not your jammies, but if you got an ugly Christmas shirt, I encourage you to wear it. What's that got to do with God? Absolutely nothing. He didn't say we had to wear clothes that pertain to him. And it's just a little fun thing to do. And also, mark your calendars for Sunday, 12:19. Bring your family and friends who don't have a church to celebrate with us as our Super Kids minister, Footprints to the Manger, during Sunday morning service. And that will be one that I will be playing by ear, so there may be a message, there may not be a message. Who knows? All right. Praise God. I even looked before I came up here to make sure I had put it in there. Hallelujah. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering. And also, if you have a prayer request at this point, you'll have to give it to our usher. He'll bring it up to me later. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. I thank you, Father, you're the King of Kings. I thank you, you're my Lord. Now, Father, I present to you today the tithes and the offerings. Lord, they are sacred. They are holy. We offer them to you today. Receive them now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated for just a real quick minute, because last week I forgot. This week I get to do something else. I will dismiss the Super Kids in a minute, I promise. She's excited to see her daddy. Oh, goodness. As I said last week, we had some new members come on, and we had another couple who are joining us as our family here. But they'll also be joining us as family. So if I could have Dave Rollins and Michelle Rollins come up. Yes. I can't clap, so somebody's going to have to. They are. Like I said, we got to actually meet Dave and Michelle, good Lord, at least a year before Jesse and Addie started dating. And oh, we hit it off pretty good. You know, we didn't see a lot of each other during that time. The next thing we know, boom, our kids are dating and they're back in our lives. And we're glad to have you guys as fellowship. All right, praise God. All right, now the Super Kids are dismissed. Okay, yes. So, I have got to get a drink. Now, for anybody that says, you know, why do we pray about these things? We never know if things happen. Well, let me tell you what, we pray. Yes, I better bring it down here. We pray about you know, trafficked people that are being trafficked. You know, and every time I get a Amber Alert or a alert on Facebook that there's a kid missing or somebody's come up missing, I start praying. And I pray, and I mean it. And it ain't got to be a real long prayer, but let me tell you something, folks. If you weren't, you probably didn't see it. I just happened to catch the headline on a thing this week. A 14-year-old Columbus girl was recovered in Detroit. She had been trafficked. This is somebody's little girl. And you know what? Because people began to pray. People dare to pray. And they dare to believe that God loves these people. I don't know her belief status. Neither does it matter. What matters is that God moved because his people, maybe even just this body, but I highly doubt we're the only ones praying. For us to think that is ludicrous. We need to understand what we pray does have an effect. Cops are constantly pulling over these vehicles and just out of the blue, 70 bags of pot show up. The cop just happened to catch a whiff of it. And that was on the road right after it happened before we went down to West Virginia, but it was on the same road. I didn't see one cop the whole time I was on it, but yet, that one day and that one time, that police officer was in the right place because people in Ohio began to pray. Don't think for one minute that your loved ones are off of his list. Pray for them. Pray for these situations that are going on. Keep praying for this country. Keep praying for our elected officials. We need to continue doing that. All right. So this morning, I kind of alluded a little bit the other day about what I was going to talk about. You know, we've been talking about the character of Christ and how we need to develop that character. And it takes time to develop it. People seem to think that, well, I said a prayer and instantly I change. No, you didn't. Oh, I felt, some people do feel different, okay? I can't say that I ever did. I knew that it was going to be a journey for me to know really who God was and who I was in him. That's, I think, is a hard thing, is to understand who we are in Christ. Because we've been told, well, you're the son, you know, there's that country, I'm the daughter of so-and-so and the son of this or that. And yeah, that is our makeup, but that's not who we are. I am now a child of a king. I am now the son of the Lord of heavens and earth, the creator of all things, because of the season we're celebrating. Because his only begotten son gave up all that he was to come down. So I think that's the kind of character we need to admonish. Yeah, we can look at people and pick out things in their lives, but overall we need to admonish the character of Christ. I can't say that I'd get along with the Apostle Paul. Doesn't mean a hill of beans. Not everybody likes me either. And I'm okay with that. I might have got along okay with Peter. I have seemed to have attracted that kind of crowd from time to time. One of my sergeants told me, he said, you know, Woodell, you'd probably be a little better off if you wouldn't hang around with him. Why? Well, I can look back and I can see why. But there's also a part of me that said, I can at least be a good influence on him. Here, let me help y'all guys out something. When you get saved, yeah, you don't have to run off, just abandon all of your friends. But let me tell you what happens if you keep hanging around, say you had a drug addiction and you keep hanging around those who were part of that lifestyle, what happens? You go back. You will go back. I will guarantee you at some point you will pick up the pipe, you will start toking again, or you will pick up that needle and you will start it all over again. Well, you know, I used to hang out and party with all these guys. We used to go out hunting for women and all this stuff. And, you know, well, they're all just good old boys. Well, yeah, you start hanging out with them. Guess what? You go right back. But now, oh, wait a minute, I want to be faithful to my wife. You go right back. Why? Because their character has not been developed. Same thing with drinking. I had to walk away from those guys, my friends who drank. I had to pull myself away from them because at that point in my life, I would have gone right back to it. And let me tell you something about the drinking. Here's what the Bible actually says. Peter is the only one who ever says, do not be drunk. There, I said it. That'll help you out. If you're drunk, you sinned. You can have a drink. That's the Bible. That is the Word of God. That is not my opinion. But getting drunk, you don't know who you are. You aren't in control of your faculties. That's the problem with it. It's no different than drugs. It is a drug. Same thing with sugar. Same thing with caffeine. I've told you, none of this stuff matters. Jesus did not treat people bad because he was a jerk. He loved all people because he was of his Father. His character is God's character, and we need to emulate that. So let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. Or as you were, is that what I put? Yes, 6:10. Yeah, I can't read my own handwriting. He's teaching us to pray, right? He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we want everything to be about us, don't we? And don't lie, because you do. You want it to be about you. That is human nature. It's all about me. I want to be comfortable. I want to feel good. I want to make sure people know who I am. That's the way we go. Not Jesus. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He said, when you're praying, he said, pray to Father, your will, Father, not mine. Your will, not mine. Now, Luke chapter 22. Then he's praying in the garden. He's just about to make this ultimate sacrifice, okay? And he says, he's praying. He says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. He's asking, okay, if anywhere in your will that it's possible that this thing can pass, please remove it. But if not, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We need to do things in accordance to God's will. I'll tell you one thing I love. I don't love it because I laugh. I hear so many people, well, when this time of life, my life hits, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Doesn't work out. Because you made plans before you got into the will of God. You need to make sure you say, as according to Paul, he says, instead of arrogantly saying, next year we're going to be in this city, in this city, in this city, in this city, he said, say, next year, if it be the Lord's will, we'll be in Rome, we'll be in Thessalonica. The church seems to have forgotten that. We even make up our message, our itineraries for preaching sometimes, itinerant preachers. And they'll boom, boom, boom. Yeah, I understand you got to get them. Oh, we're going to be going around here. What if God says, stop? Oh, but God, I can't stop. I got to go. These people need... Do you not understand? If God tells you to stop, he's already made provision for something or someone else. Or maybe they didn't need what you thought they needed. Or maybe you needed something else. Jesus was praying that, not my will, yours, Father. He wasn't, and how many times did we ever see him, I addressed this a couple weeks back about, I really do love the Chosen season series, but there's a couple things in it. I'm like, okay, seriously, we did not need to try to make this a year 2000. paper was expensive. The disciples weren't sitting at little makeshift desks writing, because half of them didn't know how to read or write, if half of them did. But they had people writing bulletins to put up on walls and stuff. Okay, we're not talking about a ministry that's been flourishing for 25, 30 years. We're talking about a ministry that just got started. And we can tell you, as a ministry that just gets started, you think about where every little dime is going right then. And it's not that we don't now. It's just, you're like, okay, do we waste the money on the paper for something that is going to blow off the telephone pole? I think we even drove around and did that once, didn't we? I remember driving around because our staple gun broke halfway through. We did it for something. Anyhow, but so yeah, we're out. Oh, I remember what it was now. It was the Jesus celebration. I ended up having to pull out some nails and hammers and trying to get things to stick because my staple gun I just bought broke. But no, he didn't go out saying, hey, y'all, look, and go out and bought himself a nice sequin robe, you know, and got those goatskin slip-on sandals, you know, got his hair all gelled back. I said, y'all need to come hear me preach. Let me tell you what a carpenter wore. He wore his dirty old jeans. They may have been a little bit tattered because he worked in them. For 30 years of his life, he was a carpenter. And then all of a sudden, boom, one day, he's decked out to the nines. People point out that, oh, but the robe, they fought over his robe. It was woven. It was one piece. Do you know how hard that is to make and expensive? I do not believe for one minute that that's what Jesus wore all the time. I believe that was something special for that time. The reason being is because Jesus came for the people that were being rejected by the high and mighty. He came for people like us. People that society said, who do you think you are? You don't even deserve to be in my shadow. Go away from me. He went to the highways and the byways. He went to the alleys looking for people. Why? Because it wasn't about him. He didn't attract people saying, come smell my great fragrance. You know, let it waft upon you. Bible says what he was not home, he was a homely man. There was nothing to look at. So he didn't go out and buy all this stuff to look good. He was who he was. I love that. He was who he was. He was a normal human, except he was the Son of God. And he did nothing to draw attention to himself. Everything he did was to point us to his Father. I had a question posed to me the other day, and it's a great question. I've had it asked several times. Can we pray to Jesus? Absolutely. He is God. But he told us, when you pray, pray this way, our Heavenly Father. He said, when you go to your Father with your prayer request, right? Why did Jesus come? To make the bridge between us and the Father once again. Why? Because God the Father, as God Almighty, as Lord and Creator, used to come down and walk amongst us. Can you imagine the garden? I mean, the Bible in Genesis records that the sound of the Lord was heard. What sound was it? Was it the mighty rushing wind that's recorded? Was it the sheer power that, like when you're underneath a transmission line, you can hear the light? Was it of the angels and the beings that are God created to stand around his throne day in, day out for eternity, singing his praise? Holy, 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 as they came through. Was it his entourage coming through? Is that what they heard? Or was it maybe possibly all the animals running to him, their creator as well. But see, what sin did was sin made him go hide the most glorious thing ever created. Obviously, they did not live in Ohio, because every winter they would be covering up. I can promise you that. So, Jesus was a humble man. He did nothing to attract people to himself. John chapter 5. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus isn't doing anything that God hasn't already done, that he's not seeing his Father direct him to do. That's the way we should be. God, what do I do? What are you doing? And that's where "what would Jesus do" was birthed out of. What would Jesus do in this situation? He would do, first off, what he saw his Father do, right? So what did Jesus do about this? Well, he's not in every situation we're in. That's not recorded. But I will tell you what, everything he did was seasoned with God's love. Even when he was correcting Peter, it was seasoned with God's love. So many people, they look forward to being jerks. That bothers me. When men of God look forward to, "Oh, I gotta go, you know, you better not." Listen, I will correct you, but understand this. If I have to correct you, I will love you. When I had to correct my children, I would spank their bottoms and then hug them. Sounds a little counterproductive, doesn't it? I wanted them to know they got spanked for that, but I will always, always love them. So when Peter was being corrected by Jesus, I've heard several preachers actually personally talk about it like this, that he pulled Peter up and just really humbled him in the boat. I, first off, don't think that Peter was the only one he was referencing. He may have been looking at Peter, but he's looking at 11 other cowards. Peter, in my opinion, was the only one who exercised any faith. The others didn't even get out of the boat. They didn't even try throwing him a lifesaver. They were just like, oh, there goes Peter. We're not getting out of the boat. Even though he already walked on the water. And unfortunately for Peter, the only thing that's remembered of him about this situation is that he failed. Now, I would ask for a show of hands of those of you who have walked on water, but I know I'm in good company because I have not. Even though I kind of arrogantly told my youth group back in the day that I would walk on water. Yeah. Ice is water, right? Yeah, that is called splitting a hair. John chapter 5, verse 30. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Again, he's not looking at how we would look at him. He's looking at how God the Father is looking at things. There are things that I know God has done in the past that kind of looks like, "Ah, that's kind of rough." Did he not send people to warn Sodom and Gomorrah? He most certainly did. Did he not send the prophets to Israel and the surrounding areas? Here's what I love about the church. We forget that God loves all people. It wasn't just the Jews he loved. You do realize that Jonah was not being sent to Jews. Nineveh, thanks to the Iraqi war, we all know now where Nineveh really is. They were Syrians. It's in Iraq, not Israel. But yet a prophet of God was sent to to a dog nation. People that we wouldn't even look upon. But God loved them enough to say, I need you to stop before I bring judgment. In the book of Revelation, we read of two prophets, two old men, who will be out preaching in the streets of Jerusalem to the world, because it's going to be televised. And they're going to be telling people to repent. Repent because God's judgment is coming. God loves his people. And the first thing he's trying to do is get everybody to repent. And when you don't repent, what happens? How many times did you tell your kids, you know, you keep that up, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Either you're getting a spanking, or you're going to tear something up that you love. Right? And what do we usually do? Well, we either get the spanking or we tore up something that we really enjoyed playing with. Eventually, it's going to happen. Somebody's, oh, you're just a worrywart, blah, blah, blah. No, I want my children to learn to be respectful of their stuff, respectful of people. Without letting people run over them. That's actually a delicate road to try to walk. Chapter 6, verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, I find it interesting that most of these verses, the rest of these verses are all in John. And John was the one disciple who really taught more about God's love than anybody. John's also the one that got the revelation and recorded it. Why? Because even in Revelation, God is trying to tell us and warn us that we need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be loving people, whether or not they love us back. We need to be praying for people, whether or not we think they deserve it. I heard a prayer request come in the other day. I don't remember who it was about now. And part of me just sat there. I said, yeah, whatever. I mean, I'm like shocked at myself, honestly. And then God just reached down there on that couch and went, who are you? Who are you to say who I touch? You only have to hit me once, Lord. I got it. And I prayed for that person. That's the way we get when we forget who we are. And what our purpose is supposed to be about. That wasn't Jesus' character. Jesus is at a well in Samaria. Okay, stop and think about this for a moment, folks. He's really not welcome there. So he's at the well. The Samaritan woman's at the well. And she is asking for a blessing, for something from him. And he says, it's not mine to give, but for the children. And she says, but Lord, even the dogs get the scraps. And he said, woman, your faith has made you whole. You know, we have a lot to learn before he returns. We have a lot to implement into our lives. We can learn it all day long. This is not the first time any of these messages have ever been taught. But it's implementing them into our lives. Education is just knowledge, right? Wisdom is application of what you know. There's things I do remember from science. Things I remember from a few things. But if I don't apply them the way they're supposed to be, Doesn't do me any good. So what is a degree if I don't apply what I learned? Wisdom is applying. And the Bible tells us to be wise. Understand. When you see a situation, don't just judge it by what you see. He said, I judge because I've seen the judgment from my Father. Look into the situation. Ask God, what's wrong? What's going on in their lives? Why are they acting different? Something is wrong. Or maybe even somebody you've never met, and God will tell you. Because all you did was you labeled them a jerk or, you know, a floozy or whatever. And you don't know their backstory. Well, just so we know, backstories are not excuses to keep acting like we do. But they're the reason why we do. So when we realize, okay, you know, I got a backstory. I've shared a lot of it from up here. I've told my wife. But that's no reason for me to continue to live like that. To live according to, well, you know, this is me. Oh, you know, these are all my hurts. See all my nice little hash marks. These are my rewards for telling you. I don't want any of that stuff. I'm only telling you so that you know that you're not alone and you can overcome it. We can overcome it. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Okay, it's again, He's pointing everything. I'm only doing what I see, and I give it to my Father. I'm here for His glory. I'm here for Him. 12:49. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." In other words, I'm not here because I want to be doing this for the glory. I'm doing this for my Father. He's told me what to say. He's told me what to do. All right. And then chapter 14, verses 6 through 11. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." And we'll stop right there. Jesus said, if you had known him, you would have known me. You want to know the Father? You got to know Jesus. They're the same. They are one and the same. They are the exact same, just a different form. He acts like his Father. He looks like his Father. He speaks like his Father. He loves like his Father. Angela was telling me something just this morning about a family member who was telling her a little story about his son, who is a spitting image of him. And the boy's employer told the dad, he said, "You know," he said, "I think I made your son really mad the other day." He's like, "Yeah, what'd you do?" He said, "He was over there working," and it was obviously somebody that knows him well. And he said, "He's over there working," and he said, "I yelled out and said, 'Hey,'" he says, "'you do that just like your father. You work just like your father.'" He said, "You take that back." Why? Because we didn't think we were like our fathers, right? But we become our fathers. Now, I hope we try to emulate the good things of our fathers. And the bad things is, you know, having been a father, I am a father, and now in the grandfather role, I understand a lot more. It's a shame we understand on the other end of this thing. We got to learn it. But I'm telling the younger generations, you emulate the good, you forgive the bad, and you move on. There are things that I've done that I do, and I'm like, where have I seen that done just like? I've seen my dad do that thousands of times. That's exactly where I saw that done. Or somebody will say, "You know, you act just like your dad." That's usually my mom. you were acting just like your dad. Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing on this? Let me find out. And honestly, it's kind of the, there is an obstinate side of me. I mean, I'm not always just, we'll just go and do whatever we need to do. There's a time I dig in and fight. And that was one of the times she said, you're acting just like your dad. So if we'd have known Jesus, we'd have known the Father. All right, next. Verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. He still hasn't got it. He still has not gotten it. Next. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? How can you do that? I've been telling you, I've been with you. I'm saying, I am the reflection of that man. I am the reflection of my Father. If you see me, you've seen him. There is no evil in God, so God, Jesus had nothing but good. We as earthly fathers, we have those things that we learned that maybe didn't come from a good place. Some habits or whatever. We have to get rid of that. But we have Jesus to look to. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they are one. So the Holy Spirit will also not do anything that the Father that is not of the Father. Everything the Holy Spirit does is done in love. And for love. And for your betterment. People think the Holy Spirit just, like again, come to make us spiritual woo-woos. It's not. Absolutely not. It's the Holy Spirit inside me that strengthens me to get up here and do this week after week. It's the Holy Spirit in me that gives me the strength sometimes to just bite my tongue and listen. Next. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Next. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. He said, you can either believe me now, right here, or you can believe because of the works that are being manifested. Kind of the same thing that Thomas got into, right? He wanted to see the works. Jesus said, blessed is he who believes without seeing. I believed God before I ever saw a miracle. I read the stories and believed. And I can honestly say again, I think that might have a little, I mean, I don't remember much about the first grade. And what I do remember, I wish I could forget. I had to show everybody that Winnie the Pooh on my button of my jeans for show and tell. Yeah, one of those times you wish you could just. And the sad part is I've actually run into a lot of these kids. Thank God they don't remember me because of her, because she was in the class behind me. So I was like, oh, yeah. Yep, I'm meeting you as adults. Hope you don't remember me that I was a little guy in the brown corduroy pants walking around. See my Winnie the Pooh on my pants? Didn't bring anything cool from show and tell. I wore it. But we have to believe God for the works. Oh, I know where I was going with that. Was that the only person I ever heard and taught me how to pray was my first grade teacher. And it was illegal then, still. But she taught me how to pray over my food. I'm coming from a family of heathens, folks. I mean, they would literally stab you in the back and walk away and not think twice about it. They would find your bones at the bottom of a mine shaft. That's the kind of family I did come from. Nobody, and then but they would kind of throw God into the mix a little bit. You know, you got to do that. Even the mafia does that. You know, we got to keep God happy too. I mean, we're going to kill you, but we're going to keep God happy. We're going to extort you, but we got to kind of keep God a little bit happy. So we were religious enough, but there was no real nothing about God. So when I actually started learning things about God and start reading, I believed without having to see, because everything in me said, this is right. This is right. You ever get into a situation where it's like, something's wrong. Something's off. I don't know what it is. Something is wrong in this situation. Well, in this case, everything was saying, this is right. There is a creator. He does love me. Do I absolutely understand everything? No, I don't. But I still believe that there's a God who loves me. And I believe that he sent his son to save me. And I believe that I need to emulate his character. My grandfather did not get saved until in his later years. And I'd like to say that he was in his 90s when he died, but he was 61. So when I say later years, that was old for him. Old for my family. Because I believe my great-grandfather died at 58. So there was a lot of bad things that went on. We need to remember that we no longer have to reflect that character. It may come up. You like to think you're keeping it hidden. It comes up. Unforgiveness, I'm going to say that pretty much runs through everybody. But to keep holding and keep holding and keep holding, that's something that runs in your family. I'm going to tell you right now as well. People say, well, I prayed over these generational curses and they're broken. Each generation, each person has to do that themselves. I would like to think that things are constantly broken. I've prayed against them and I've tried not to display this stuff with my children. And I pray that they understand that too, that they have to judge themselves and look and say, I don't like this about me. And then they change it. Because while I'd like to say, you know, my parents prayed that as well years ago against alcohol and drug addiction. Well, isn't that a coink-a-dink? It didn't get broken until those of us who decided to take a stand against it took the stand. So, and then it became a point of each person. Each person's faith has to be activated in order for that to be broken. I know it's kind of contrary to what a lot of people have been taught and believed, but if you ask yourself, did it work? Did your children just walk the line? Were they perfect? No. It's because they have to grow up. Each one of us has to make that decision for faith in our own lives. And if it means we have to walk up to the gates of hell, then God is going to let that happen. I told my mom the other day, I said, I had a little talk with her and we were just chatting on Thanksgiving. And I said, you know, I said, I struggled for a long time about some things. And I said, and I told her, I said, I volunteered to go to Saudi Arabia on the first run. And I said, they wouldn't take me. And my mom said, you know, it's because God knew you'd probably might be killed. And I said, no, it had nothing to do with that. God told me I wouldn't have hit bottom. I wouldn't have come to the end of myself if I'd gone. I had to go someplace where I could hit the bottom. And I hit the bottom. I hung out down there for a little bit. But then I came back. And I climbed out of that pit with his help. And I said, God, it's not anything anybody else is going to do. She can't even believe enough for me. It's got to be real. And I'm going to tell you, it's been 30-some years now. Actually, right about, oh, this year's 30 years. It was 91. It's been 30 years of me getting to know him for myself. And I see this. I see the humility of Jesus Christ in that he was compassionate, that he was humble. He didn't seek his own will. Preachers today, many of them, I had to explain some things to Joshua. He was asking me some questions about some things, and I said, here's why these people are like this. I said, this is what's going on. We are building ministries under ourselves. We got schools, we got campuses, we got this, we got that. It's all named after us. Even the ministry. This ministry is not in my name. Understand that. It is not in my name. Most of the people I've associated with in the past, the ministry is their name. Because they own it. I don't own this. I could easily. I own it. But I don't. Because this is not me. This is not, yeah, it's my ministry because I'm preaching. But what happens when I'm gone? Should the Lord tarry and I'm gone, then what? It just dissolves? No. God will raise up somebody else. And that's how it'll keep moving. Whether it's one of my boys or not. And right now they're all saying, no. But understand this, if we will maintain the character of Christ, we'll become more like him. You'll say, Father, let me see you. And he'll say, look in the mirror. That scripture that says we look in the mirror dimly, but on that day we will be known as we are known. I'll look in the mirror and I will know. Just like right now, I can look in the mirror and I can see my father. I can see my great-grandmother. She had one, they always called them liver spots. He's like, I got one right here. She did too. Except hers was huge, so I'm cursing that thing in Jesus' name. I was like, yeah, I remember that picture. It was gigantic. But I can look in the mirror and I can see my family. I can honestly thank God that I got my mom's dad's hair. Because, doggone it, the others went bald. That ain't saying there ain't some spots trying to crawl out. And the forehead is gaining ground and the hairline's retreating, but I still got hair, man, praise God. And it's not dyed. But, you know, that's the way we do. We look in the mirror, you know. I'm sure you can look in the mirror and see your dad in certain things. And you say, I can see my mom in that too. We all can do it. Because we knew them. So when we look in the mirror at that point and we see us, we're going to see God. And we're like, when did that happen? Did you know that journey you took? That life-changing journey that you went on? That's when that happened. It took you 40 years. Well, it needs to change immediately. It ain't going to change immediately. I was 21 when I finally gave up the fight. I had 21 years of garbage to get rid of. Do you know what that's like? Yes, you do, because you're in the same boat. Some of you starting out a little bit later. You still got 30 years, you got 20 years, maybe you only got 10 years of garbage. I don't know. But it takes some time. You know, but when you do start letting go, you do start trusting God. You know, I remember when Pat was telling me, and he's talked about how he's changed. And his ex-wife says, you have changed. He said, yeah, I used to hate you. He gave up hating her, and she saw it. That's a change, folks. And I've been around Pat enough to know I can just about pinpoint some of his actions and reactions to things. What he might say, but what he might actually do, because he's a lot like me in that area. Okay, God, I'll do what you said to do. But doggone it, it ain't what I want to do. You want to know the best way to know how to be God, like God, spend time with him. Talk with him. I dropped a screw the other day, a teeny tiny screw. I mean, it wasn't 3/16 of an inch long. And I dropped it in a pile of cellulose insulation on the floor with all kinds of other garbage. And I'm like, God, I kind of need that for that light. I said, Lord, I know you'll help me find this thing. And I'm looking around, and I looked behind me, and there it was, presented. I mean, it wasn't near it. It was by itself. I heard it hit the floor, and then the muffled dud. But there it was, laying with nothing around it. I was like, God, that's thank you. And on the same day, I dropped this stupid little ball that holds a light. It's actually a nut. Decorative, and it went to that light I was trying to save, and I dropped it in the trash can full of that stuff. I just kind of wanted to cry. God said, go get your magnet. I walked to the bar and came back with my magnet. There it was. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I had to put air in my tire. You know, I thank God for that air compressor. I dropped the cap. Didn't fall on the outside of the tire. It rolled to the inside of the rim and went behind the tire. Okay, I'm not going to get upset, Lord. I went and coiled the frozen hose back up. And I started going back thinking, I'm going to have to lay up underneath the truck to find this or move the truck. And I personally hate getting in the truck, getting back out to just get something like that. I started walking back, and there it was, laying. It had rolled. God had to have blown it because it came uphill. And it was laying right there at the edge. And all I had to do was kneel down and pick it up. I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't even ask you yet. And he did it. See, I come to know that God. I know how much he cares for the little things in my life. And that's the God I'm trying to introduce you to. People think, well, this is just, God don't care about this. God cares about every minute detail. A teeny tiny 3/16 inch long screw. I probably could have found something else, but he cared enough that I didn't have to walk to the shop to get one. And there he was, right there for me. Tim, if you bring me the prayer request, if you got one, make sure, Tim, if you haven't given it to him already. That's how come I can say, in spite of everything that's happening in the world right now, all the evil that's happening, God is a good God. He is good all the time. And you know, while we've kind of started recording Last Man Standing the last season, or last two seasons actually, because I didn't watch it when it went over to Fox. I just quit recording it. And so I didn't see any of them, but somebody was talking about something about God, and he said, God is good all the time. You can think what you want about him. I don't care what his past. Yeah, I know he was a drug dealer. So was Mike Lindell. He was strung out on crack. Well, you know, if I was him, I would have a different life. And you know what? You're not him. Let's live the life according to what Paul taught us. He said, live the life that you have. God gave him a platform, and he has actually done a lot of good things. I'm not saying that he's a devout, faithful believer, but I can't judge him either. But I do know that he stands for a lot of things that I believe in, besides just freedom.